we begin this morning, I want to say thank you to all you guys for your support of our students. We had a great trip this weekend. We got back yesterday afternoon from a great trip to Gatlinburg. Our students got to hear some incredible speakers, had a good timely message yesterday morning from Johnny Hunt, and heard some other speakers as well over the weekend, some great music, and most importantly, really good time together, just building their community together. So thank you so much for your prayers and your support of our students. And I want to say also that I'm excited. I'm excited about 2017. I'm excited about where we're headed as a church. I'm excited about the things we're going to be discussing in this time here together. I think God's got great things for us, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about where our students are. I'm excited about what's going on in our student ministry right now. I'm excited about what's ahead for them. Just to give you an update, our personnel committee has been meeting. They're charged. That's the group charged with our constitution with finding the new associate pastor and minister to students. They're meeting. That group is meeting. I'm meeting with them. We've got some really incredible candidates for that that we're looking at, we're praying over. We just encourage you to continue to pray with us as we're seeking who that person would be to come and serve with us, come and partner with us in gospel ministry for our students and with our church. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited about our children's ministry and Awana and what's going on there. I'm excited about heading to Nicaragua and the things we've been doing here in our community, the things we've got coming up here to serve. I'm excited about an event we've got coming up in just a few weeks on January 22nd, that evening at 6 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, we're going to meet together down in the fellowship hall for a ministry fair, missions and ministry fair, and we're going to show you opportunities. We want you to know opportunities that you have to serve Christ here in our community. All kinds of different groups are going to come and just give you information about how you can connect and serve Christ and serve the people of our area. I'm excited about these things. I'm anticipating and asking God to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. And He can do it. We trust Him with that. But for those things to become a reality for us, there's one thing that's a necessity. We've got to be together. We've got to be together. Rick Warren said, "We are created for community. We're fashioned for fellowship. We're formed for a family. And none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves." He said, "The Bible knows nothing of solitary saints or spiritual hermits isolated from other believers and deprived of fellowship." When I look across the landscape of Christianity today, and I look at my generation, those a little bit younger than me and those a little bit older than me, what I see there is I see a group of people questioning the need for church membership, questioning the need to belong to a local body of believers and connect with them and live life together, following Christ together. That's what I see from people my age. They question the need of church membership. When I back up a little bit and look a little more broadly, and I really look at the whole scope, I see a culture, a Christian culture, that's questioning the significance of church membership. And so maybe it's people, Christian culture, or maybe there's a name on the roll somewhere. Maybe there's an attendance here and there. But they're questioning, what real difference does it make in my life that I'm a member of a local church? That I'm a part of a connected body of believers? That I'm following Christ together with these people? What difference does that make for me? I'm seeing a group, a culture today where we question the significance of church membership for us. The biblical picture of church membership is much more than just being somewhere sometimes on a Sunday morning. The biblical picture of church membership is more than being individuals who happen to get together to pray once a week. It's about life lived together. That's what we see when we look at the New Testament. God didn't call us as Mountain Creek Baptist Church. He didn't call us as Mountain Creek Baptist Church to be just a group of individuals. He called us to be united. He called us to be fellowship. And He called us to be together. I'm excited about January. Over the next 4 weeks after today, we are going to be working through this that you see here, a framework for the future renewing our vision and mission. We're going to study every Sunday this month, Acts 2, 42 through 47. You can actually turn there now if you want to. Acts 2, 42 through 47. We're going to look at this passage every single Sunday. And over the next four Sundays after today, we're going to look at four priorities that we see in the early church in this passage. Four different priorities we see in them. As we go through these, I want you to know this is not an abandoning of the goal. We have this goal as a church. We want to be disciples who are making disciples. That's the mission that Jesus gave us himself. This is not abandoning that. That's what we're going towards. We want to do that. We want to be disciples who are making disciples. We want to make disciples who can make disciples. That's our job as a church. We're not abandoning that at all. But what we want to do, what I hope to do over the next 4 weeks is to clarify that, to clarify what that is and to clarify how we live together as disciples and how we make disciples. We want to look at four key foundational components of that, but we've got to start somewhere before that. All of the things we're going to discuss in the next 4 weeks after today, all of those things that we're going to discuss have to be done in the context of the community, in the context of the Christian community. They have to be done together. And we see that also in Acts 2, 42 through 47. Verse 42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Would you bow with me and let's ask God to bless this time. Father, we open your word together humbly as your people because we want to hear from you. And we trust that these words that we just read are living and active. They're sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we ask you to pierce us with that. In a good way, in a healing way, maybe even in a painful way, pierce us with your word. Help us to see how we should live differently. Help us to see how we need to respond to what you have for us. Help us to be a church that lives together for your name's sake. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. When I start reading somewhere like that, when you start reading somewhere like that, you should probably step back and ask, who are they? What's this they? What's this group here? And so we could back up to the beginning of Acts. Acts opens with the scene of Jesus. He's been crucified. He's been resurrected. He's just about to ascend into heaven. And he has one more thing for his disciples. The disciples are gathered there after they hear from him that all authority has been given to him. He says that in Matthew 28. And here he tells them that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them, that they'll receive power, that they are to be his witnesses where they are and to the ends of the earth. And he ascends into heaven. And this group is there waiting. And just as he said, they're waiting. In Acts 1:15, you read that there's 120 of them, about 120 of them, waiting there in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2 opens. This group is there, 120. They're there. The day of Pentecost comes. It says they're all together in one place. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, of the coming of the Holy Spirit on them. The tongues of fire, the flames of fire that come and rest on them. The people begin to speak in tongues. And there are others who are there in the city, and they're asking what's going on. And they think maybe this group of people, maybe they're drunk. They're just sounding crazy. And you keep reading in Acts 2, and Peter stands up and he delivers this sermon to them. That's the bulk of Acts chapter 2, is Peter's sermon at Pentecost. And Peter preaches to them the message of what has occurred and what the prophet said was going to happen and what actually did happen in Christ, how all of that came to fulfillment. He ends here in Acts 2:36. He says, "Let all the house of Israel, therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Look at verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Who are the they in verse 42? Well, it's the disciples. It's the 120, and then these 3,000 here who heard the message of the gospel. They repented and believed. They were baptized, and they joined this fellowship. This is the they, the group in 242 who are devoted. It says they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. They're devoted to the fellowship. They're devoted to the breaking of bread. That's certainly communion and also fellowship meals together they would have, and they were devoted to prayer together. We're going to cover some of those things in the coming weeks, but today we want to focus just on fellowship. They were devoted, it says, to the fellowship. When we hear fellowship, you thinking of good food already? We usually think of good food after we're done here. We're going to go down to the what hall? Social hall. We're going to go down to the fellowship hall, right? We're going to go down there. We're going to share a meal together. We think of that. Or maybe we think of getting together in a home and being in the same room and eating together. That's part of fellowship. But fellowship is much more. It's much more than that. It's a sharing. It's a partnership together. The word is used in Luke chapter 5. The beginning of Luke 5 is a really incredible story where Jesus is He's out teaching, and the fishermen are there, Peter and John, and he gets on their boats, and he tells them to let down their nets. And a really incredible story. You should go read that. But in that story there, we read about Peter and John, and apparently they're in business together. They own a fishing company together. They were partners. They were fellowshipping. They were partners in this business. They were connected together in that way. In the secular way, that same word is used in that sense, partnership. They were partners. And for us, we use this word fellowship, but it has the same meaning. It's primarily the fellowship, the community of Christ followers. It's the partnership of those who are committed to one another, the partnership of those who are following Jesus together. It's this partnership. Really, in a way, primarily, we're partners together. As Mountain Creek Baptist Church, we're partners together in helping one another follow Jesus. We're connected together in that way. It's this idea of togetherness. It's more than a physical proximity, but it includes that. It's also a relational proximity, a spiritual one. It's the idea of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls life together. It's us living life together. And this is what we're made for. This is what you were made for. So in Genesis 1, God creates everything, and all the way to the end of the chapter in verse 31, he says, he saw everything, and it was what? It was very good. Everything, and it's good, it's good, it's good. It's very good. And then you get to Genesis 2, and what does he say is not good? It's not good for man to be alone. Now, that primarily, he's speaking of a marriage relationship. And so, of course, from there he goes and he creates Eve and he brings Adam and Eve together. We see this picture of one man and one woman for life, this idea of marriage. And that's definitely the primary reference there. But we have this understanding from the very beginning, God made us for community. He made us to be together. It's not good for man to be alone. And you see this through the pages of Scripture from cover to cover. We're made to be together. Look at verse 44 of Acts chapter 2. Now all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They were together. They had all things in common. They were together. All of them, it says, were together. All who believe were together. Not just parts of them, not just little groups here and there. The clear picture in Acts 2 is not of a divided and splintered church. It's a unified whole. And later on in the New Testament, anytime there's division, there is a quick rebuke of that. So the book of 1 Corinthians is addressing this issue of divisions in the church. It can't be. And Philippians is addressing this issue of division in the church. It can't be. We're to be together. We're to be one. We see this clearly in the pages of the New Testament. Acts 2 says they're all together. We know the church in Acts was a diverse group. Just from reading these first few chapters of the book of Acts, we know for certain that there were some apparently pretty wealthy individuals in this church who had homes big enough for these groups to meet together in. We know that there were individuals in this church who were able to sell things to give to meet needs for others, to continually sell things to give to meet needs for others. We also know in this church there are groups who are in need. They're not as well financially off. They have real needs to be met, and there are others who are there meeting those needs. We see this diverse group. We know that there are older widows. We also know that there are younger families because we see households coming to faith in Jesus, families with children. We see this diverse group. Now, at this point, they're Jews. But very, very soon, we're going to see them grow, and there's going to be Gentiles included in this mix. And again, despite the diversity, what you see is unity, that all of them work together. There is no room. There's no room in the church for division over social class. There's no room in the church for division over what type of job you have, white-collar job, blue-collar job. There's no room for division in the church over race. There's no room for division in the church over any of these smaller things. They were together as one. It's the clear picture of the church in the New Testament. In verse 47 says that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this group, this church, they had a number, and they were the saved. From the very beginning, they had an understanding of who was in and who was not in. And those who were in were the saved. Not the unsaved. This was a group of believers. This, the idea we have now we call regenerate church membership. It's those who are regenerated. Those who are believers are members. And they knew from the very beginning who this was. They could say this was added to their number. They had an idea. They knew who was in the group. Church membership from the very beginning mattered. Church membership was a big deal to the early church. God called us to be together, so this matters. One of my professors in seminary at Southeastern, Dr. John Hammett, he wrote a book called Biblical Foundations of Baptist Churches. Our deacons read this book together this past summer. And in this book, he points out three pictures in the New Testament that God uses to describe the church. And this will help us understand, I think, these three pictures, help us understand this principle of being together. First, he said the New Testament describes us that we're the people of God. When you look at the church, the New Testament, we're the people of God. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He says, we're a people. We're not just people. We're not just individuals together. We're not just people. We're a people. We're one people. We're one group. We're the collection together. We're one unified whole. And we're God's people, not our own. And so really, even above ourselves here as Mountain Creek, above the Three Rivers Association that we partner with, above the South Carolina Baptist Convention, above the Southern Baptist Convention, above evangelicalism, above Protestantism. We are God's people, first and foremost. We're God's people. We are shaped and defined by our relationship to Him. And so, Peter, just before this, in chapter 1, he says, because we're His people, we should be holy just as He is holy. We're shaped and defined by this relationship. It makes a difference for us. We're set apart to be as He is. We're to be holy just as He is holy. We're God's people. We're the people of God. This is universal. Peter is writing his letter to a group of churches in five different regions that he mentions in chapter 1, verse 1. He's writing this letter to a number of churches, and he says, we're all God's people. This is a universal truth. The church, the universal church, God's people of all places, of all times, those who believe in the gospel, we together with them, we're God's people. That means that the church down the road that preaches and confesses the gospel, we're on the same team as them. If they're a Southern Baptist church, we're on the same team as them. If they're a Presbyterian church that preaches and confesses the gospel, we're on the same team with them. If they're a Methodist church that preaches and confesses the gospel, we're on the same team. We're on the same team with any who gather together that preach and confess the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are God's people. We're together with them. But also, locally, Peter wants us to see for us here, local, this body, we're God's people. We see that very clearly, even more so, in the next picture. The second picture that John Hammett mentions in his book, the New Testament mentions, is that we're the body of Christ. We're the people of God, and we are the body of Christ. And so 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and individually you're members of it. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he's writing to a specific church, to one local church. And he says, this one local church, you're the body of Christ. And so I think John Hammett's right. He says the local church is not regarded here as merely a part of the larger body of Christ, but as the body of Christ in that place. We, Mountain Creek Baptist Church, we are the body of Christ. This church here, us together, we're the body of Christ. That's what Paul wants us to see here, and that there's two implications of that. One is that we're one. Even though we're many, he says individually members of it, even though we're many, we are one. And so we'll flip with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's just a couple books over to your right. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27, he says, you're the body of Christ. Y'all are the body of Christ. This church is the body of Christ. We're one, even though we're many. Look at verse 12. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. There's a oneness of us. There's a diversity of gifts he's gonna show. And in this chapter and in this book, there's a diversity of gifts in the body. There's a diversity of personalities. There's a diversity of likes and dislikes. There's a diversity of political beliefs. There's a diversity of races. There's a diversity of ethnicities. All of these things. There's a diversity of social classes. But he says, despite all of that, we're one. Diversity does not eliminate unity. It elevates it. It elevates unity. It helps us to build it on the thing that matters, not on superficial things. It helps us to build it on Christ. And so we together, what we're saying as members of Mountain Creek Baptist Church is that the one thing that really matters, we have that in common. We have that in common. And so lesser things, they don't divide us because we're one. The world is divided by those things. We're not the world. We're one. We have in common what matters most. We've been placed together as His body. We're one, even though we're many. Secondly, it shows us that we need each other. We need each other. Bruce Milne says, Scripture knows nothing of a solitary religion. Nothing of a solitary religion. Look at verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. We need each other. God put us together as a gift of grace. He put us together. We were made to be together. This is how God grows the community. God grows the community by putting a diverse group of people together for one another. This is how he ensures that we're going to make it to the end. We persevere through the word. We persevere through his spirit. We persevere through one another. We need each other for these things. We were made to be together. This idea that we need each other, that we need community, it's deeply ingrained in all of us. Not just Christians, it's deeply ingrained in everyone. If you look around the world, if you look at cultures, you'll see this understanding that we're made to be together. Now, our world shows us pictures of this and it offers counterfeits of this. It shows us pictures in movies like Saving Private Ryan where this group is willing to sacrifice everything to save their brother. And they risk it all for him. It's shown in shows like Band of Brothers, where these men are coming to, they're a band of brothers. They're coming together. These shows and movies are so successful because of this desire in us. Maybe some of you have seen the TV show Parenthood. Shows like that show this unity of this family, despite their incredible diversity, this unity, it shows this longing that we have. These are made by secular people in this secular world, showing this longing that we all have for community. The world offers us counterfeits of this as well. This drive for community and belonging. This is why bars are in business. It's not just the alcohol. It's the community. It's the place to belong. Sometimes you want to go, right? Where everybody knows your name. There's this drive. We want to be together. And the world's offering a counterfeit. This is why we're seeing the rise of gangs in inner cities and some suburbs. I just heard just the other day in Greer, they're watching gangs. We see this rise because people want community. And these are counterfeits. Facebook, people want community, and it's a counterfeit. And we have the real thing. We have the real thing, and we've got to show that to the world. And we can't show that to the world unless we're living it here first. We have the real thing as we follow Jesus together, we get to hold out what everyone else is looking for and say, here it is. Come join us. Find what you're looking for right here with us. So church membership matters here. At Mountain Creek, church membership matters. So if you've been coming to Mountain Creek for some time and you're interested in joining, let me just tell you how that works. What we'd love for you to do is call our church office. Set up a time to come and meet with me. I'd love to get to know you and talk with me. I want to just hear your story. I want to hear about your walk with Jesus and how you came to know him. I want you to get to know me and get to know our church some. And then sometime on a Sunday morning after we meet, you can come forward and we'll publicly recognize you as joining our church and we'll welcome you into our family. Membership matters here. When you're joining our church and members, when we're receiving others into our church, what we're saying to them is this. We're saying we're committed to you. We're covenanting together with you to follow Jesus with you, no matter what that looks like. In the ups and the downs, we're with you, and you're with us. We're becoming a family. We're becoming together. We're committed. We're praying for you. We're going to be there for you in the good and the bad. You're joining the only institution on planet Earth that rivals the family in importance in the kingdom of God. You're joining his family. You're coming together with this group. This is not just a social club. This is a group of people following Jesus, connected together. That's what it means to join this church. We've got to hold that up. We've got to live that out. The third picture we see in the New Testament is that we're the people of God, we're the body of Christ, and lastly, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul writes, Do you not know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And the application of that, the first application of that, is not that you should go and join Planet Fitness and work on your temple. Okay? You, it's a plural. Y'all are God's temple. Yes, God dwells in you. He does. And he tells you, he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to be with you to the end. He's in you. He says, y'all are the temple of God. Y'all are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. There's something significant about us coming together as his people. When we gather together, this is God's Spirit is here with us in a special way. The temple of God is the life-giving place where we engage God in worship. We do that here, and if we did it in the parking lot, it would be right there. He says, we're the temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why this time matters. This time matters, and we need you here. We don't need you here to make our report look good when we send in numbers to the association. We don't need you here for our ego so I feel better about anything. We need you here because this time matters. We worship together as God's people come and join together. We're the temple of God. And you need to be here because you need to be connected to that. You're a part of that. And it's not just this time here, though. That's all of life together. That's what this whole thing is showing us. If we're going to be where God would have us be in 2017, we've got to be together. We've got to go together. We've got to be committed to following Jesus together. I want to encourage you with a few primary ways you can do this here at Mountain Creek. The first one of those, well, in addition to being here, the first one of those is Sunday school. Sunday school is important. Sunday school is a place where we connect with other groups in our church. A lot of them are kind of divided by ages or gathered together, grouped together by ages. Not all of them, but some of them are. It's a place for us to connect together with a smaller group to follow Jesus together. When we hear the word taught, we can discuss it together in smaller groups, hopefully get together outside of that time as well. You need to connect with one of those groups. That's how we follow Jesus together. So a way, an avenue we give you to do that here at Mountain Creek. Another way that you can do that here at Mountain Creek, there are already, just kind of informally, these things are already going on, smaller groups in homes during the week, Bible studies, groups meeting together to study the Word in someone's home and just be together and share life together. You can jump in. I know those groups. I know those individuals would love to have you join them. Many of you have said some things to me about that. We're going to look at starting more of those things for you. We want to give us ways to connect together as families to follow Christ together. Sunday school through these small groups, and then just informally, let me encourage us to live life together. This means hospitality. This means welcoming others into our homes. This means being there for one another, reaching out to one another. It's reaching out to the new member. It's getting to know the older member who maybe you don't know as well. It's being there in the good and bad and the easy and the difficult. It's being committed. It's living life together. To be where God would have us be in 2017, we've got to be together. There's one little problem to this, and that's me. And if we're honest, I think we should all say that. The hindrance to fellowship is not this person or this group or that group. For each of us, the hindrance to fellowship starts here. But you know, when Jesus came, he didn't just break down barriers that kept us separated from God. He did that. He broke down the things that separated you from God. He died for your sins. He died so that you can be forgiven. He died so you can have life in him. all who would confess and believe in him. He says, you give forgiveness and life. He broke down the barrier between you and God. You can receive that today if you need to. He also broke down the barriers between me and others, between man and man. He broke down the barrier between man and God, and he broke down the barrier between man and man. And taking away sin and defeating sin on the cross, he defeated my pride that keeps me from fellowshipping with you. If that's been taken care of, look, I've got nothing holding me back now. I can confess that sin if that sin comes up again, and I can reach out to you in love and fellowship. We have everything we need to do this. It's been given to us in the gospel. So 2017, let's be together.